8th chapter of John this morning. We began chapter 8 last week. And I have two sermons prepared for today that would take us to the end of chapter 8. That's not saying that we'll get through those two sermons in their entirety and finish with chapter 8 today. We may be finishing this sermon up tonight. We'll just see how it goes. But we talked last week about two different things in the beginning of this chapter. And the first one being in verse number 2. We learn, this is Christ, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down and taught him. And we learn from that, we see an example that we should follow, that Christ got up early, okay? Whatever early is for you, I don't know. But what the main thing that we have to look at here is Christ didn't just waste half of the day. He got up and got going on what needed to be done. He went to the temple. He was about the important work that needed to be done. He didn't spend half the day or most of the day in trivial tasks. And he sat down and taught the people. He was about the work that God had sent him to do, and he was there as long as it took. He sat down because he was going to be there a while. There was much to be said. Sunday night, we looked at the woman taken in adultery, and a lot of lessons to be learned there about what the law actually says and about these Pharisees, and then about the most beautiful part of that passage there at the end when it's her and Christ and he forgives her. That's the best part of that passage right there. Anytime that someone is saved, that's going to be the best part. This morning, we come to a pretty large portion of Scripture that I want to read. Now, we're not going to go through every single verse as we teach it this morning. There are some that we'll spend more time on than others, but we're going to read a pretty large portion. Start in verse 12, John chapter 8 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man." Now Christ isn't saying here that he doesn't judge anybody. Whenever Christ talks about, especially here in John, about not being a judge, he's talking primarily about he didn't come to be a judge of the law in the way that the scribes and the Pharisees had set themselves up to do. God judges, the judgment of Christ is a spiritual judgment. Okay? So that's what he's saying here. Because we will find here in just a little bit that he talks about how he does judge. Well, how does he say in some places that he doesn't and other places that he does? Because he's talking about two different types of judgment. Okay? "And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of my Father, of myself, excuse me, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. He's been telling them this whole time. Ever since he started his earthly ministry, he's been telling them who he is. And they keep asking, Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And he keeps telling them who he is. That's what the blindness of sin does to people. Okay? I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this portion of your word here, just as we do every time that we meet, we ask that you'd give us a clear understanding and that we would be changed by what it is that you're speaking to us through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's been said that there are leaders and there are followers. You've probably heard that saying. Some people, you might have heard this one. Some people are born to lead and some people are born to follow. Now, I agree that in this world, some people are leaders, some people are followers, some are better at telling people what to do, some are better at being told what to do. We know that that is true, okay? Some people are just fit into the different positions better than others. So the world is made up of leaders and the world's made up of followers. You can't have all leaders, and you can't have all followers. Somebody has to lead. Somebody has to follow. You've heard the old saying, it's a situation where you have too many chiefs and not enough Indians. You've heard that old saying. You probably go to jail for saying that now. That's probably not politically correct anymore. But since we've never worried about being politically correct, we'll say it. Too many chiefs, not enough Indians. You've heard that. Okay? You can't have everybody in charge, but you got to have somebody in charge. That's how things work. Here's the thing, though. Even though some are leaders and some are followers, when it comes down to it, everybody follows someone or something. Even the leaders are following somebody. There's no avoiding it. Perhaps the leaders are following themselves, their own opinions, their own philosophies, their own ideas. Maybe they're following somebody out in the world. Maybe they're following, you know, the possibilities are endless on who a person could follow. It might be a political figure. It might be an author. It might be someone on the television, someone on the radio, someone who writes a magazine article. There are all kinds of people to follow. And there's a lot of following going on in our world, is there not? There's a lot of blind leading the blind in our world. People are just follow. They'll follow anything. In social media, it is that's a big thing, is following people. Okay, we don't do the Facebook thing, but I know that you can follow people on there. I know that you can you'll see things, advertisements, and it'll say, follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook. By the way, have you ever thought if you could take one of these sermons and go back about 100 years ago or even just 50 years ago and play it for people, how they wouldn't know half of what we were talking about? What's Facebook? What are they talking about birds for? Twitter? What's YouTube? You ever think about how crazy some of the things are that we have now that they wouldn't have any idea? But following, there's so much following. Follow this, follow that, follow me, follow this. But when it all, at the end of the day, what it all boils down to is every person, whether they are a leader or a follower as far as their position in this life is concerned, every person at the end of the day is going to follow one of two people. You're either going to follow Christ or you're going to follow the devil. And I realize that there are people who would say, oh, I don't follow the devil. Well, there are only two options. If you follow anyone other than Christ, you're following the devil. If you follow the world and its philosophies, who's the God of this world? The Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world. If you follow anything that's not of God, okay, Christ made it clear. You're either for him or you're against him. No man can serve two masters. Christ made it clear. If you're not following Christ, you only have one option left. And everybody, whether a leader or a follower in this world, at the end of the day, everybody's following somebody, something. Are you following the person of Jesus Christ, or are you following the devil and his people? Look what Jesus said in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Scripture has, each individual scripture only has one interpretation. And what that means is, interpretation is basically what the scripture means, what the author meant whenever they wrote it. Every scripture only has one interpretation. Scriptures do not have multiple interpretations. However, scriptures can have multiple applications. While a verse of scripture only means one thing, what God said, it can be applied, many scriptures can be applied in more than one way, in more than one area. Okay? This verse here, Jesus is talking about salvation. Okay? To follow Jesus, to follow Christ, is not merely to do what he did. It's not merely to do those things that he said to do, such as love your neighbor. It's not just to follow a list of do's and don'ts, but it is to adhere to his teaching. Every point of what he taught. Well, Pastor, how's that any different than what you just said? Well, it's one thing if Christ says, love your neighbor, do unto others, and all of these types of things, okay? And we do that, but we ignore the deeper things. We ignore what really matters. We ignore repent and believe the gospel. We ignore put your faith and trust in him, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. This following that he's talking about is not a mere outward conformity to a set of do's and don'ts. This following that he's talking about is specifically that we would adhere to all that he taught. And what did he teach? Well, his foremost message was what? The gospel. Salvation in him alone. Being right with the Father only through him. That's what does the Bible tell us in Luke that he came to do? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So what was the whole purpose of Christ coming here? To save man from their sin. To be the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Everything else that he taught stemmed from the gospel. Everything else that he taught is only possible if we've put our faith and trust in him. That's where it begins. Following Christ is not filling out or doing a list of do's and don'ts. Following Christ is believing in who Jesus Christ is. Following Christ is believing what he said about himself. All of these facts that the Pharisees refused to believe. All of these facts that the Pharisees don't want to have anything to do with. They keep turning a blind eye to. Following Jesus Christ is believing who he said he was. Believing that he's right, that he's true whenever he says that we are lost in need of salvation. It's trusting in what he said, that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. It's believing that he's the only way to be saved, have our sins forgiven, and have eternity in heaven. That's how we follow after him. That's where it begins. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You're not a follower of Jesus Christ unless you believe on him, unless you trust him for salvation. You're not a follower of His if you don't believe on Him, if you don't trust in Him. Because if you don't believe on Him, you're not following the most important thing that He came to tell us. And that is that we had to put our faith and trust in Him. If not, you're merely one who adheres to some of His teachings. If you're not believing in Jesus Christ, if your faith and trust is not in Him for salvation, then you're not following Him because you're ignoring the most important thing He said. You're merely adhering to a few things that He said to do because you think there might be some kind of benefit in that. Hold your place here. We'll be back in just a moment. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 with me, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now remember, I said Scripture has one interpretation, but multiple applications. There's another application here. As Christians follow what Christ taught, if you're following His teachings and what He told us to do, then you're not going to be doing wrong, and you're not going to be walking in darkness. You're going to be walking in light. Okay? But let's look this. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 4 and 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Paul is speaking to believers because he called them brethren. He said, you're not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. See, they were asking about the day of the Lord. They were confused about the day of the Lord, and he's trying to tell them, clear some things up. And one of the things that he points out to them is that you're not in darkness. Now look, ye are all saved people, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. That's what Christ does when He saves you. You are no longer a child of the night. You're no longer a child of the darkness. If you let the flesh have its way, you might do some of those deeds. But I want you to go back to when we studied through 1 John. Okay, and what was the central message, the central thing that we learned from 1 John? That there is a difference between the inner man and the outer man. That when you get saved, it is your inner man who is saved, redeemed, born again, cannot sin. You cannot force your inner man to sin because he's born not of corruptible seed. He's born of God. But you got another man, the outward man, the flesh, the body, that Paul tells us, I believe it's in Romans, that we are waiting for that body to be redeemed. We're waiting for that body to be changed. That's where the war that Paul talks about comes from. You got a saved man on the inside who cannot sin no matter what he does. He's born of God. You got a lost flesh on the outside. And it's up to you which one's going to be in control. That inner man is not darkness anymore. How could it be with the Holy Spirit of God living in there? Not darkness. Not darkness. He says right here, that is not who we are. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. This is talking about believers. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's find verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Right there it is. Right there it is. Your inner man is not of darkness anymore. He is of light. Well, then why am I told to walk as children of light? I can't help it, right? Well, your inner man, but your outer man hasn't been redeemed yet. Hasn't been changed yet. So the inner man's going to have to control that outer man and tell him, you walk right. You walk in these paths of light. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I bring under my body, bring it into subjection. I mean, get a hold of it by the throat and say, no, you're not going to do what you want. You're going to do what I say. You're going to do what this inner man says to do. Here we're told to walk according to this inward change that has happened because we're not darkness anymore. Go over to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 5. Oh, yeah, getting the right. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, this is not the verse I wanted. It'd help if I went to chapter 1 and not chapter 2. This then, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, remember there's a difference between relationship and fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You can't live according to the flesh. You can't live according to sin and be right with God. You can be saved, but you're not in fellowship. People say, oh, he's gotten out of fellowship. A saved person gets away from other believers, not reading his Bible, he's not praying, he's not coming to church, he's starting to go back. Hey, is he not saved anymore? According to the Scripture, he's still saved. He's out of fellowship. Something wrong with his walk. Something's not right between him and God. Why? You can't walk according to the flesh. You can't walk according to darkness and have good fellowship with your wife. I jumped to the next point. Sorry. My mind got ahead of me. I was thinking about the next illustration, and I got ahead of myself. Whoop, back that one up. You cannot walk in darkness. You cannot walk in sin. You cannot walk according to the flesh and be in good fellowship with your Savior. Now here comes the illustration that I got ahead of myself on. You can't have a wife, ladies, you can't have a husband and then have somebody else and be in the right fellowship with your spouse, can you? Men, you're married, you've got a wife, there's another woman that you're running around with, you're not in right fellowship with your wife. You're out of line. You're not going to be in right fellowship with your wife. You're not walking right. Ladies, you're married. You've got a husband. You've got another man that you're running around with. You're not going to be in right fellowship with your husband. You can't be. There's something going on that's not supposed to be going on. Are you still married to that person? Absolutely. Are you still saved? Yeah, if you're born again, you're still saved. But that fellowship is not right and will not be right if we don't walk the way we're supposed to walk. Our fellowship does not rely on, our salvation, excuse me, does not rely on that. Because it's not a work salvation. However, my fellowship completely relies on that. My fellowship with God completely relies on that. If the outer man walks in darkness, it will affect our fellowship with Christ and with one another, though it does not affect our relationship with Him. Our fellowship can definitely be affected. Back in John chapter 8, let's read it again. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Okay? So there's a couple different applications here. The first part of that happens when we get saved. Our inner man is no longer darkness. He's walking in light. We can also apply this to our fellowship with God. We can also apply it to our fellowship. If we're obedient to the Scripture, we're not going to walk in darkness. If we're obedient to Scripture, we're going to be walking in the light according to what God has told us to do. Okay? Now, the question then this morning is, who are we following? Even if you're saved, are you following your Savior? Are you following your Master? Are you one of His disciples? He brings that up here in just a little while. He tells us that His followers know the Father. In verses 13 through 18, He proves His witness. Okay, we'll not spend a lot of time on these verses, but they're accusing Him of his witness not being true because He's speaking of Himself. And He points out, you don't know anything about Me. I know where I came from. You don't. And then He points out that He's not bearing record of Himself, but that the Father is also bearing record of Him. How does the Father bear record of the Son? Well, He did it through the prophets. He told the prophets, this is where the Messiah is going to come from. These are all of the events that you're going to see. Christ fulfilled those. That's the Father bearing witness of the Son. And when He was baptized, the Father was heard from heaven. The Holy Spirit descending like a dove, that was the Father bearing witness. That is My Son. So Christ is saying, well, first of all, My record's true because you don't know anything about Me. You don't know where I came from. You don't know who I am. But then He says, but I'm not just bearing record of Myself. The Father bears record of Me. You know, it's there, but it's up to them. Are they going to listen? The Father has already borne witness. They just would not believe. I want you to look at verse 19. Then said they unto Him, where is Thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know Me nor My Father. If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also. When I read this, I can't help but think about the people that we're surrounded with today who profess Christianity. But Christian ideals and biblical principles are so foreign to them. Why are there so many people that profess to be Christians, claim that they're Christians, claim that they're going to heaven, and no part of their life lines up with Scripture at all? And you bring biblical truth to them, and it's like they're hearing it for the first time, or it makes them mad, or they want to argue with you over the plain Scripture. Why is that? Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. The number one reason is you're dealing with somebody who's professing Christianity but has never been born again. They're just not saved in the first place. Or you're dealing with someone who has trusted Christ for the forgiveness of their sin, salvation of their soul, but they're not His disciples. They don't know His voice. They're not growing in the Word. It's so foreign to them because they're not in it. They're not in it. Somewhere along the line, they have become a 1 Corinthians Christian, caught up in the things of the world, carnal. Were those Corinthians saved? Absolutely. Read how Paul addresses them. Were they off track? Were they concerned about carnal things? Absolutely. Look how Paul addressed them. So, when you deal with somebody who claims to be a Christian, and not only is there no evidence whatsoever, but biblical teaching and biblical preaching is so foreign to them. Go back to this verse and look what Jesus said. He said, ye neither know Me nor My Father. If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also. You know, a Christian, especially one who's learning and growing in the Lord and being what God has called them to be, and we're just trying to submit ourselves to Him and grow and let Him change us. We recognize God's Word, don't we? We recognize, hey, that's not right. That's not scriptural. I've read that. I know what that... He said, my sheep hear my voice. He knows his sheep and his sheep know him. You don't know his voice if you're not listening to him. And he talks to us through his word. You get to verses 20 through 24. And he begins to define what it is to follow him. He says, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Right there is the definition, what he's talking about back in verse 12, of following him and not walking in darkness. To follow him begins with believing that he is the Son of God and that he came to forgive you of your sin. And if you don't believe on him, you won't have your sins forgiven and you won't spend eternity in heaven. You'll spend eternity in the torments of hell. And by the way, it hasn't gone away. It's still there and it's still a place of torment. Seventh-day Adventists can try to tell us all day long that you're not tormented in hell. They teach that a person goes to hell and then they're just burnt up and consumed and there's no... Where's that in Scripture? Oh, but I do read about everlasting torment. You're going to have to change the definition of everlasting if that's true. Or you take everlasting for what it means and say you're tormented forever and ever and ever. You know, changing the teaching on hell, all it does is make lost people comfortable in their sin. And it damns their souls to that hell that you're telling them doesn't exist. It just makes people comfortable. Let's think about that for a minute. If you knew that that was your fate after leaving this world, how many people being given a decision, okay, being given a choice? I can trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I can have my sins forgiven. Yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I can be persecuted while I'm here. Friends and family turn their back on me. Have to fight against the flesh all the time. Or I can just do whatever I want, and when I leave here, I'll just be burned up in an instant, and then that'll be the end of it. Look, I know you've heard me say it before. Nobody gets saved because they decided one day they wanted to please God. They love God so much. The Bible tells us that there's none that seeketh after Him. There's none that doeth good. Okay? We don't get saved because we love God and we want to live for Him. You don't love God until you realize His sacrifice and how much He loved you, because the Bible tells us we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. We saw the sacrifice that He made for us. And we realized that the Bible said, the wages of sin is death. I'm going to die. I'm going to spend eternity in hell. I need a way out of this. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I put my faith and trust in Him. Now I have what it takes to love Him and serve Him and live for Him. Jesus is telling them, you're going to die in your sins. Why? Because in verse 24, he says, if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And then it's too late. We see a perfect example here of those who walk in darkness. In verse 25, then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Could you, pardon me. What would it have been like when I met Amy in the summer of 1996, right, Amy? Boy, you got to get that one right. You're eating cold cuts for lunch if you get that one wrong. Met Amy, summer of 1996, working at Dairy Queen. And as we began to become interested in one another, how aggravated would she have been if every time I came to work, I said, what'd you say your name was? What'd you say your name was again? I've told you every day for 2 weeks. Well, yeah, but I... Would that show any interest on my part? Would that show that I'm even the least bit interested if I can't even remember her name? Go to ask her for that first date. Would you like to go out on a date with me? Oh, I'd love to. Where do you live? Where do I pick you up? Oh, here. I already knew where she lived. I had to give her a ride home from work one night when her parents were out of town. And I'll tell you a funny story. She forgot her key, and I dropped her off, and she spent the rest of the night in the garage waiting for her parents to come home. I just dropped her off and left. I didn't know she didn't have her key. She sat in the garage all night waiting for was the cat even out there? Probably didn't even have the cat. Cat's probably in the house, all comfortable. She just sat out in the garage all night waiting for her parents to get home. Okay, what if I came to pick her up for that date and said, you ready to go? Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Oh, you look nice. Thank you. You look nice, too. Give me your name again. What was your name again? You know what she would have thought? He's not listening. He doesn't care. Christ has told them over and over and over and over who His Father is, who He is. Who's your Father? They don't want to know. They're not listening. Their eyes are blinded, their ears are closed, and they don't want to open them. They don't want to see. They're resisting the truth. He's told them over and over and over again. He says in verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. Now look, they understood not that He spake to them of the Father. How could He make it any more plain than what He has made it? And they just won't see it. They just don't get it. They just don't understand. Let me point something out to you. Had they wanted to know, they would have known. Nicodemus wanted to know. The woman at the well wanted to know. When people want to know, when this question is sincere, when this question is of truth, they want to know, they'll know. But when you're dealing with somebody that just wants to waste time and just trying to cause trouble, like the Pharisees, they're going to die in their sins. He just said they were going to, because they won't believe. And that choice lies upon each and every one of us. But we have these options. Who are we going to follow? We're going to follow Christ. We're going to follow the devil. Christ is making it clear that we have that choice. And if we would follow Him, if we would follow Him and be saved, if we would follow Him after that and walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we're not going to walk in darkness. How foolish is it to walk around in darkness when you don't have to? Remember early last week, I don't know how much the power went out here in town, but out there where we live, when we had the storm, trees were down everywhere. Power was out most of the night. went off the next day for about an hour or so. And at night, what happens? Power goes out. What do? You get the lamps out. You get the oil lamps out. You get the flashlights out. You start getting your light. Because I don't care how well you know your home. You're going to run into something. You're going to fall over. The dog's going to run under your feet. Clayson's going to leave some toy out. Somebody's going to leave a chair pulled out. Now, it's one thing if you're walking around, feeling around, because the lamp oil is all gone. The flashlights are all dead. I don't have, and oh no, the cell phone's dead. My flashlight app doesn't work. What are we going to do? You're feeling around. Yeah, but if you've got plenty of oil and you have lights, and that's just foolish. Walk around in darkness. Turn a light on. Save people. Have we been made children of light? Yes. Has He given us His Word to explain to us how to walk in light? How to walk after Him? Yes. Turn the light on. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Flip the light on. What did God say to do here? Oh, He said, go this way. Yep, He said, go this way. Look, there's nothing in my way. I'm not tripping. I'm not falling. I've got everything. Turn the light on. When you walk in darkness, you're either lost, never come to the light, or you're saved and you just turn the light off or ignore the light, or I'll walk over here where it's dark. You don't have to. This path over here is lit up. It's our choice. It's our decision. In Sunday school this morning, I said, the despicable thing about us Christians whenever we sin is that it's a complete choice, because Romans tells us we're dead to sin. We're not slaves to sin. Now it's a choice. Why do we make that choice? Why do we decide to let the flesh win? Why do we let ourselves get weak? Well, we won't if we follow after Him and we walk in light. Now I want you to look at verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. That's salvation. Not believing in Him, believing that He just what they believed on Him, that's salvation. They're putting faith and trust in what He said, in who He said He is. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. He's talking to saved people here now. If ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Not work salvation. If you keep on doing right, I'll keep you saved and you'll come home. No. What did He say? Disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But I thought when you got saved, you were already free. Well, that inner man is. But now that outer man's going to have to learn how to walk. Got to teach him. Got to retrain him, don't you? I tell you what, it's a lot easier to train than it is to retrain. Whole lot easier. We've decided that Lincoln needs to learn a few things. Okay, it's time to train the dog. Problem is, the dog's already, what, 6, 7, 8 months old? It's okay, it was bothering Sandy and then it came over to you, so it'll be back to Christy here in a minute. He's making the rounds. Has he been up here already? Okay. He's getting everybody. Okay, it's time to train that dog. So we've got this special collar that, you know, gets a hold of him and doing things a certain way to train. You know what? It'd have been a lot easier if we'd have done that right when we got him. Because now he's set in his ways. It's harder. It's easier to train than it is to retrain. That's why we need to train up our children in the way that they should go, so that whenever they're 30 and 40, they don't have to be retrained. It's better to come to Christ when you're young than it is to come to Him and have all that baggage and have all those problems, and then you got to be retrained. Okay? The inner man saved, that outer man's going to have to be retrained. Jesus said here, if we continue in His Word, then we would be His disciples. Now look, every disciple of Jesus Christ is a Christian. But not every Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because not every born-again person is being obedient to the Word and growing and learning to be more like Christ. Some are just kind of stagnant, just kind of spinning their wheels, just kind of sitting there because they won't do what's called upon us to do. So every disciple is a Christian. You can't be a disciple without being a Christian, but every Christian's not a disciple. Some people just, their interest goes so far, and then that's it. Just not really interested in anything beyond this. He saved me. Things are going pretty good. Yeah, that's about all I need. Jesus said that by continuing in His Word, we'd be His disciples. That's the only way you learn. Continue in the Word. Continue in the book. Stay at it. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep making those changes. Keep letting God work on you. It's funny how when we're little, we're taught to sing. How does it go? God's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. Something like that, about how it goes. That's close enough that we know what song I'm talking about. Okay? He's still working on me. Then we get up to 30, 40, 50, and beyond, whatever, however, we get to be adults. And sometimes some Christians will think, that's it. Construction has finished. No, listen. The life of the Christian is like 465 in Indy. There's always construction. Isn't there? Always construction going on. So it's like Margaret Avenue here in Terre Haute. That's an even better one because sometimes we hit a train and just get stalled and just sit and sit and sit and sit. It's a whole other sermon there. There's always construction going on in the life of a Christian. You don't ever stop growing. You're not supposed to. If you've stopped growing, if you've stopped being a disciple, it is not because you finally arrived. Because we don't arrive until we get home. It's because you have just closed the textbook and said, I'm done studying. I don't want to work at it. That's it. That's good enough. But look at what he says in verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's saying that's something that's going to happen. That's shall make. That's future, isn't it? What is that? That's, hey, you believe on Him, you get saved, you're not in darkness anymore. Now we become His disciple as we follow Him. And as we follow Him and we are made His disciples, what happens? We see that thing go, I'm free from that. I see that thing go, free from that. I see that thing go. I see this change. I see this get better. I see this improve. Let me say this in closing. The redeemed are no longer in bondage to sin. Now we must learn to die to ourselves and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we'll do that by following after Jesus Christ and what He told us to do, what His Word instructs us to do. Then we'll see the growth that we long to see. Then we'll be able to live those lives that are pleasing unto Him. But it begins with following the right man. We've got to follow the right man. Church, listen. If you're not saved, That's where you have to begin. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sin. That's where it begins. If you're saved, you make a conscious decision every morning and all throughout your day who you're going to follow. Am I going to listen to Christ here? Am I going to grieve the Holy Spirit? Am I going to quench the Holy Spirit? Am I going to be obedient? Who am I going to follow? Every day you make that decision. I make that decision. Who are we going to follow? Can we wholeheartedly and unashamedly sing the song, "I have decided to follow Jesus"? Could that be said of us? Could it be said of you yesterday? Could it be said of you today? Are we going to be able to say it about you tomorrow? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We have to choose who we're going to follow, who we're going to serve. And if we'll do that, if we'll follow Jesus Christ, if we'll serve Him and make that decision every day, then we'll see that truth make us free. And we'll see those things of the flesh that need to go, we'll see them going. But not if we don't follow who we ought to be following and follow Him in true obedience. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we're so thankful for the word that You've given us. We're thankful that You have left for us this example. We're thankful that You have not only provided salvation, but that after we get saved, You've shown us how to live in obedience to You. God, I pray this morning that for myself and for every one of us in here, that You would convict our hearts and show us areas where we're not following You, where we're not being obedient, where we've gotten lazy. Show us how to fix that. Show us the correct way to go in Your word and what we need to do. And just help us to make those changes. Because after all, You're more than worth it. You've saved us from hell. You've given us so many blessings. It's the least that we can do is to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto You. Just help us in these areas today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your hymnal. I've lost my bulletin. What's our page? 295. I don't know where my bulletin went. 295. Let's sing the first and the last of Softly and Tenderly.